week's letter comes to us from Little Fred. Little Fred writes, "Dear George G., are you on TikTok?" Well, the shorter answer to that question, Little Fred, is no, I am not. And I've been on TikTok, not just looking at the app itself, but also I had an account. I guess that is the thing I was trying to so eloquently say right there, Little Fred. But I have discovered that it's just not my favorite place to spend time, TikTok. And it's also not my favorite medium for trying to get my ideas, my thoughts out there. While I'm not a 4-hour kind of a podcast guy. I'm also not a 7-second kind of a podcast guy. I am not gifted, talented enough to get my point across in 7 seconds or less. I need a little bit more time than that. So I don't know that is damning of TikTok necessarily. It's just more damning of me that I am unable to do that. But you ask, and I know that there is a lot of people get a lot of information off of TikTok, and a lot of people don't think that is a very good thing. And I was poking fun at myself, saying that I am incapable of getting my point across in 7 seconds or less. And there's a really famous quote. It says that everybody is ignorant only on different subjects. And that's been attributed to Will Rogers. I always thought that there was a really famous quote from Thoreau or Emerson that said, "There's no such thing as an expert. There's only varying degrees of ignorance," but I couldn't find it. So I don't know if I just made that one up in my head or not. And then Socrates, of course, said, "I know that I know nothing." So the smartest person, somebody who's considered to be one of the smartest human beings that's ever existed or walked the face of the earth, who's ever been on TikTok, Socrates, said, "I know that I know nothing." So as we gain more knowledge and understanding, we realize that I really have no knowledge or understanding of anything, and that everything seems so untapped, and that as I up-level, these new levels inform me that there is so much more and so many more levels, so many different levels, and so much more on each level to be kind of thinking about, talking about. And over the past, I guess, recent future, there have been lots of conversations about who is an expert and who is qualified / even allowed or able to be engaging in or talking about various certain topics. And I get a kick out of that. I think that it's interesting. Certainly folks who are accredited are interested in keeping the value, maintaining the value of their accreditation. So if I am an expert because I have a PhD in a certain area, or I'm an expert because I have a degree, or I'm a professor, or it's my position, confers upon me credibility that allows me to be more of a expert, that allows me to have more gravitas on a certain topic. So that's really interesting. And then I don't think anybody doubts that. But then you have this rise of new media, which is now replacing your traditional type media sources. And when you are going to TikTok to get financial information specifically, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I should have probably buried the lead a little bit on that one. Is it good to get your financial information, resources, answers, advice, however you want to think about it, from TikTok? Or should you only receive financial information from financial websites or from financial planners or financial advisors or professors? And I don't know the answer to that. Because there is not an accurate answer to that. Here's the state of play on TikTok, just from the research that I did. And what they told me was that 1 out of 10 of the creators on TikTok who are espousing financial thoughts slash advice or whatever, only one in 10 are licensed. So 10% have some kind of a license. So take that for what it is. I guess what I would say to that is that, well, I don't think Dave Ramsey has ever had any kind of a license, and I'm sure he has a massive presence on TikTok. But I don't think Dave's ever been a licensed financial really anything. But I'm on record saying that I think that Dave is the most important financial person that has ever existed because he helped people to actually make change. So there's one thing to talk about financial stuff, but quite another to actually motivate or catalyze change in somebody. And Dave has figured out how to do that, making him an extremely important, valuable financial guy, financial person. So just because you don't have a license doesn't mean that you are not capable of dispensing valuable financial insight. Maybe that's the term that we'll stick with, financial insight. Now, that being said, there's also a good amount of research out there that says that 80% of young people, 80% of teenagers are not able to tell the difference between an opinion and a factual statement. They're also unable to suss out what's different between a paid advertisement and just original content. So that is evidence that our companies are doing a really good job of making all of their content appear to be factual, apparently, or appear to not be an advertisement. And that's a dangerous thing. That's an unfortunate thing. And I think that we can attribute to that to the short form nature of the platform. If you're just getting 7 second bites and then you're on to the next one, well, I imagine it has a meditative quality to it, where you sort of just get lost in it, and it all sort of blends together. Meditative, that is a beautiful, what is the term? It's a beautiful term that is describing a negative thing in a very nice way. And I'm just not going to be able to pull that term out from between my ears right now. But you get the idea. So, not able to suss out whether or not something's factual or an actual or just an opinion, and it could be because we are meditating while we're looking at TikTok and we're just sort of scrolling through it. Another way to think about that would be I'm just turned into a zombie, and that I may be brain dead. But that's just me because I'm a Gen X kind of a guy, and it's that's I'm not being fair because there's plenty of times that I'm zoned out and I'm brain dead quite a bit. But you get the idea. So much to sort of unpack here. There are so many different kinds of financial people out there. So simply being a licensed financial advisor or a licensed financial planner or a registered investment advisor or an investment advisor representative, so many different rules and things that you must do as you are communicating with the public that it makes it trickier for I think trickier for a lot of financial advisors out there to be successful in that environment. And just because you're a successful financial advisor or really great at describing things doesn't mean you can boil it down to 7 seconds. And so that there are people who are effective at that, who are great at taking difficult to understand concepts and making them both entertaining and consumable and impactful, I think, is a really positive thing. It's obviously not positive if somebody gives bad financial insight and then people act on it and it damages them, then that's not a good thing at all. But I think that that's fairly obvious. So just so you know who I am, because it's very possible that you have no idea who I am. I am a financial advisor. I've been a financial advisor for almost 25 years at this point. I've been named to Investopedia's list of the 100 most influential financial advisors 5 times. Yada this, yada that, blah, 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 blah. So I am coming at this from the perspective that, yeah, I am inside the belly of the beast in a lot of ways, but also I'm not, because I also recognize and appreciate the other side of the coin. So I'm not the guy that's going to tell you that just because somebody does not have a license or that they're on TikTok makes their insight any better or any worse. I am also a proponent of buyer beware. So it's beneficial and benefits us to become better consumers of all things, all media, all information. And it benefits me greatly to be able to exercise critical thinking and to be able to say, oh, look, there's George, who's now on my screen. He's talking to me. He's telling me about the best kind of financial thing to get. Should I do more research into who this person is or just take it at face value? I think we need to put our critical thinking hats on and just kind of suss out. So, there's a lot of different topics that are on TikTok. A lot of the top topics are on things like crypto, things like permanent life insurance, things like real estate investing and financial independence. There's a lot of different topics that are out there. And every single one of those demands nuance, and every single one of those demands critical thinking, because Bitcoin, while it could save the world, it also could be the worst thing ever for somebody to put their money into, depending on that individual's financial situation. And something like life insurance is even trickier because there's so many different kinds, so many different companies that market it. And oh my goodness. So these are all sophisticated, complicated, worthwhile financial instruments. That doesn't mean that it's right for you. It could be the best thing in the world for Fred here, who wrote the letter today. It could be the worst thing in the world for Sally. She just may not have any need for life insurance at all. Fred could be the number one person to buy life insurance who ought to have that. So another thing about all of this is that, in a lot of ways, we are sort of building an airplane on the fly. And what I mean by that is we're still learning how to take information in like TikTok. Be it I'm either in a meditative state or it makes me brain dead, we're still trying to reconcile how to be using this. And again, that 80% of young people are not able to differentiate between fact and opinion says that we're failing at that. It suggests that the airplane is going to start on fire in midair, or at least need to, if it doesn't crash into the ocean or an iceberg of some kind, it may need to land quickly and address any problems. But you sort of get the idea out there. So we're still trying to figure so much of this out. And these are relatively new technologies. And certainly when you look at the human experience across time and space and everything else, it's extremely new. So it's going to break our brains, whether or not we come through it on the other end and we adopt this as useful technology or not. Time remains, that remains to be seen, and only time will tell. There, I got it. There, I got it. I still can't think of the term for coming up with a nicer word, a euphemism. There it is. There it is. It's a euphemism. Calling a bad thing a nice name is a euphemism. Got it. Back on track. We all have universal needs. There are universal human needs, and you are tasked with, you have the opportunity to meet those universal needs with your individual solution. So you have a need to protect your family. You have a need to find financial security. How do you do that? Because there's lots of different solutions to the same kinds of problems. For the same needs, there are lots of different ways to meet those needs. And good news, bad news, if you ask 100 different financial advisors the best way to design your retirement income, you're going to get 100 different answers. And now you open up that world to anybody who has an opinion or has insight into financial matters. Well, now you've got 1,000 different people chiming in on the best way to design retirement income, and you're going to get an even wider range of different ways to go about that. So that's what's happening here. The walled garden is no longer a walled garden. Through social media, through just the internet in general, ideas and insights are spreading like wildfire. And sometimes the wildfire is going to burn stuff down. And sometimes it's going to be a positive thing. Okay, so you get how it goes. And of course, how you say something really matters, right? How you say something matters, because just because you're a financial advisor doesn't mean that you're terrible or that you're good at presenting information, because you could be so dry and you could be presenting really complicated concepts in a really complicated manner. And the solution to complexity is not more complexity. The solution to complexity is simplicity a lot of the time. And so Dave Ramsey does an incredible job of simplifying the process of getting out of debt and getting on the right track financially, which is why he's so effective. So let's take that one step further. Now, I like to break personal finance down into financial literacy and financial wellness. Financial literacy is what you know. Financial wellness is what you do. Okay. So I encourage you, and I advocate that you take a big step back and say, okay, what areas of my financial life do I need to be more literate in? So I just need facts. I need information. I need to teach myself about how to budget, how to track my cash flow, how to enroll in my 401k, how to invest properly based on the kind of investor I am. But I need to learn how to save for the down payment on a home. I need to know how to do my taxes. I need to do, there's a good number of things that I just have to know how to do. So it behooves me, it benefits me to become more literate in those areas. And then the actual wellness piece is, it's great that I know how to do these things, but do I actually do them? Because the world is absolutely littered with educated derelicts, people that are extremely well, very, very well versed and very literate, but just can't put it together. They cannot find their way out of a paper bag. They cannot find their blank with two hands and a flashlight kind of a thing. So what do you need to know? What's missing? And then what do I actually do? How do I close that gap? So I realized I had some deficiencies. I don't understand how my 401k works. So I was able to educate myself. I found some YouTube videos from the financial provider that does the 401k. I had a conversation with the financial person who helps to manage it for my company. And now I have a good understanding of it. And you know what I did is I enrolled in it. And then I set up automated contributions at 5%. And in so doing, I get a 3% match. So I'm currently at, roughly speaking, an 8% contribution rate to my 401k. Awesome. I'm off to a really good start here. So educated myself and then actually put it to work. So I'm financially literate and I'm on my way to financial wellness. That's a really positive thing. And then I think that we do need to get down. I know that we have to decide and figure out, not decide, we have to know what's true. So we have to know what the first principles of personal finance are. And a couple of greatest hits here are, you have to pay yourself first. So you have to be making contributions to some kind of financial account that is for your benefit. And you have to automate that, and you have to do that before you pay anybody else anything. It's the whole idea is that you put your needs first, you put your family's needs first, which is exactly where they ought to be. Then you worry about everybody else. Another financial truth, another financial first principle is that you can't run out of money. So we need to have a fully funded emergency fund. Another financial first principle is that you need to spend less money than you earn. So if we do the opposite of that, we're at best living paycheck to paycheck because we're spending all the money that comes in. And at worst, we're going into debt a lot or a little bit every month. So obviously not a good recipe for success. Another first principle is stay out of debt. So if you are not in credit card debt, do not get into credit card debt. If you're in credit card debt, get out of credit card debt. Become financially literate on what it takes to get out of credit card debt, and then figure out what you must do to actually do it. So close the gap between financial literacy and financial wellness. And then a third, or rather maybe a fifth or a sixth first principle here, is that we want to take a diversified approach to our finances. Okay, what does that mean? That means we're going to be really boring, super boring. Don't only buy Bitcoin. Don't only buy real estate. Don't only buy stocks. Put money in as many different accounts, or rather, multiple different accounts. I'm not just buying different financial vehicles or having different accounts just for the sake of doing it. I'm just saying don't put all of your eggs in one basket, no matter how great that basket might be. But then it also means take a diversified approach. If we're talking about traditional stock market investing, that means don't put all of your money into one stock. Don't put it all into Google or Netflix or Amazon or Microsoft or Apple. These are all or Nvidia. These are all really good companies. But just because they're good companies doesn't mean that things aren't going to change. Don't believe me? Just Google Enron, E-N-R-O-N. Quite a story. So be super boring. Do not put all of your money into a company or even buy individual stocks. What I want you to do is to take a diversified approach by investing in well-diversified, low-cost, passive mutual funds and or exchange-traded funds, also known as ETFs. What's the difference between a mutual fund and an ETF? Unless you're really curious about that, it doesn't matter. They're very, 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 very similar. They're accomplishing the same goal in just slightly different way. But what that means is one of the most common mutual funds or exchange traded funds is the S&P 500, S&P, Standard and Poor's 500. So when you buy one share of that mutual fund or ETF, you are buying a small piece of the 500 biggest companies in the world. Amazing. So that's pretty well diversified right there. Even if several of them go out of business, my investment's going to be pretty secure still. Okay, and you can get that. You can buy the S&P 500 for almost free. Now, what I mean by that is there's always a cost to buy a share. So there's the value of the share. Maybe it's $100. But then there's an ongoing cost to a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund oftentimes. And that's represented in what's called a basis point, or BPS. So 100 basis points is 1%. So there are certainly mutual funds and exchange-traded funds that cost 1% every year. And that's how the mutual fund makes money. That's how they cover their expenses. But at this point, we've gotten to the point. There's lots of points right there, point, where through technology and automation and lots of other wonderful things, that you can get the S&P 500 mutual fund or ETF at actually no cost. So it's still going to cost $100 a share or whatever it costs, but there's not an expense ratio, there's no basis points moving forward. So that's an important thing. Cost is what you pay, value, price what you pay, value is what you get. And I think that there's a lot of value there because there's very minimal cost. So that is how that works. So we want to be boring with that. I don't want my investing to be super exciting. And I'm talking about this from a set the foundation standpoint. So once you have a lot of your foundational financial planning set up and you are funding your goals, meaning you're making a monthly contribution to these accounts and you are on track to meet or exceed your financial goals. So I'm not saying if you're 35 years old that you need to have a fully funded 401k. I'm saying that if you're 35 and you intend to retire at 65, that you are putting in as much as you need to have accumulated as much as you want by that date. So once you've done that, then I invite you to be more focused. So you can rely on diversification a little bit less. You can go buy Bitcoin. You can go buy individual stocks. You can do things like that. But don't flip those around. So am I on TikTok, Little Fred? No, I'm not. Doesn't mean that I'm opposed to the platform one way or another. Do I think that you should only listen to financial advisors? No, I think that there's lots of really talented, smart, good-hearted people out there, good-natured, entertaining people out there who are doing good work that you can certainly learn from. It's one thing that I know for sure is that there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. Not anybody on TikTok, no financial advisors. And because that's true, we need to act accordingly.